The Apostle Paul was one always filled with love for his brethren, love for his God. And it was that tremendous love that caused him to make the sacrifices that he did, to persevere through the hardships and the struggles that he did, and be willing to essentially give himself and his welfare for the sake of his brethren and for God, for his service, to do what was needed. And we read in Philippians chapter 1 of the mindset that the Apostle Paul has. And I'd like you to look with me at verse 12, and we'll notice some verses as we move on down through the end of the chapter, but that reflect a beautiful example to us of the love we should have for God and the willingness that we should have to look at whatever comes to our lives as a way by which God can be glorified, that good can happen. Because here is the apostle. Of course, the book of Philippians is written from prison. He and Timothy, as you see in verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. And of course, as Paul went from place to place at various times, these are the kinds of things that he suffered. That the gospel might go to people who needed it. That lost souls might have the opportunity to be saved. That struggling Christians might have the opportunity to be encouraged and to be strengthened and built up. And so bad things were happening to him, and they were seeing and hearing about the suffering of the Apostle Paul. Should people continue to be a Christian if this is what it's like? Well, what kind of impact does that have? Paul says there in verse 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." It is an amazing thing that God does, that he takes the bad and turns it into good. He takes what Satan tries to do to destroy the efforts that God is making through his servants, and he can turn it into a victory. What happened? Verse 13, "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So Paul has been thrown into prison, but Paul continues to do what he needs to do, even from prison. And brethren are encouraged by his example. They are strengthened. They are, well, if he can do it, we can do it. And they persevere so that instead of the threats and the typical reaction to fear, let's just not do anything, let's just be quiet, it had the opposite effect. So that brethren were telling the message, and that these chains did not put fear in them and hinder them in the work that they needed to do. But instead, they were more bold, he says, to speak the word without fear. Here is what love accomplishes. He loves his God, so he has always lived his life doing what he believed was right. He learns, as a Pharisee, he was doing exactly the opposite of what he should have been doing. But when he learned the truth, his love for God caused him to love the very one that he was denying, his Savior Jesus Christ. And that persecutor of the church immediately began to preach that which he had persecuted. And Christ, through him, went into the hearts of many, and so many souls were saved. But it didn't come without a cost, but one that Paul was willing to pay because he loved his Lord. And then this love is extended to all of these people, his brethren, his new family in Christ, that Paul, because of his passion for them, was willing to continue to do all of these things and to suffer. And because of what he was willing to do for love, their love grew for the Lord, and their determination to do his will, even in the face of danger. You see it there in verse 14. Paul continues, if we skip down to verse 19, he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul looks at what has happened to him as a positive thing. And he's not so concerned about the outcome, because either outcome, he says, will be something that can bring about good for the Lord, for the church, for you as brethren, even for him. Notice what he says, "For to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If he continues to live, then as a part of the body of Christ, he can continue to fulfill work, his mission as a member of that body. He can continue to encourage his brethren, go with the gospel, fight the good fight of faith. All of it he can continue to do. If he dies, he has gained the crown. He further explains and expounds upon what he said, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. And yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Either way, it's good." But he talks about, if I continue to live, I will continue to bear fruit for the Lord. This was a man, of course, who was not going to allow any work to be undone. He was such and is such an example to us of the fervency and the zeal of being active in the service of the Lord at all times. So that just the extension of life was viewed as fruit is going to be born. That's just how his mindset was. It's how he viewed living. Living means bearing more fruit for the Lord. It was just a mindset of working for God is going to yield increase because I'm laboring with the Lord, and that's the outcome. When you work with the Lord, his word does not return to him void. It will produce after its own kind, and it did. Paul was very fruitful. And then he says in verse 23, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire," what? "To depart and be with Christ, which is far better." You lay aside the labor, which is a good labor, but all through it there's affliction, there's suffering. No, that's not joyful, but you persevere through it for the Lord's sake. But you go and you be with Christ. That's where the true joy is. That's where it is much better than what we have now. However, verse 24, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Even though, on my part, it would be far better to just go and be with Christ, it's better for you if I remain." What does that mean? That means I continue to struggle. I continue to get thrown in prison, to be beaten, to suffer, to go through all of this hardship. That's better for you. What does that say? That says, I love you. More than anything you could just explicitly say in words for Paul to say, this is what I'm thinking, and that is that I'll remain here because it would be better for you. Sacrifice and a willingness to give self, even life, for others. What a great demonstration of love. And then Paul finishes that section, "That your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." And of course, for them, the one who loved them so much, who had brought the gospel to them, that was longing to be a benefit to their lives in so many ways, produced in them joy and gladness at the hope of one day being able to be reunited. The joy of that bond in Christ. And it's a bond that we share here as Christian family. It's a bond that can and should continue to grow. It is one that is manifested by the things that we sacrifice, the things that we do for one another, with one another, and in our service together under the Lord and for His cause. We are so privileged to be a part of the family of Christ and to share the family love that God has blessed us to have because of what Christ has done for us. Tonight, if you're not yet a Christian, reflect upon what God offers you. Eternal life, forgiveness of all past sins, and the blessing of being able to join in with the greatest work in all the world, working side by side with God and with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a work through which we can help one another and help the world. If you're not yet a Christian, you can become a part of this wonderful family through faith and repentance, confession of faith in Christ, baptism into Christ, sins washed away by Jesus' blood, and the greatest life begun. If you need to recommit yourself to living that life faithfully, if you've wandered into sin, if you need to come home, the Lord can and will help you, will pray for you, and you can come at this time as we stand and as we sing.